So we're starting this new series, learning the Maharal. And the Maharal, it's very amazing to be able to learn his Torahs, mainly because he was very, very deep in his ideas, but more profoundly is that most people understand that the sprout of Chassidus came out of the Maharal's teachings. But not only in Hasidic world, but also many of the students of the Gra followed Maharal understanding of the Torah and really going into a deeper understanding from what we are usually exploring, which is usually like a pshat or maybe very much like halacha based understanding. And the Maharal is trying to take us to a place where we really see deeper understandings or more developed ideas regarding different things. Now, the book that we're gonna be exploring this class is called Netivot Olam, which can mean the paths of the world, or it can mean eternal pathways, because the word Olam in Hebrew it means space and time, right? So even though it took the world and Albert Einstein to teach him that time and space are the same thing, in Judaism we've been talking about time and space being the same thing for Le'olam, right? Forever. Le'olam, right? Baruch Hashem Le'olam, Amen Ve'amen, right? God is space and He is eternal because He is, and that's why you say Amen Ve'amen, Amen to the Olam of space and Amen to the Olam of time. And yet, the Netivot Olam, the eternal pathways, are very much going to teach us, and we're going to try to learn. And there are 32 pathways in this Netivot Olam, Lev Netivot, 32 pathways, because the pathways to the heart are through the Lev, and the Lev is really where we connect to the relationship aspect with things. Just because I understand something intellectually doesn't mean I have a relationship with it. Right? I can understand very much how a computer works. It doesn't mean I have a relationship with a computer. Yet I do have to figure out what my relationship with a computer is, right? And the Netiva Osher, which we're going to start with and then go explore some other ones, are going to be very much my relationship with things that I acquire, that I own, that I have, whether it's possessions, and very much the possessions in the English word possession can be something that you possess. It could also be that you're being possessed, right? And how relationship between with objects that we have, are we possessing them? Are they possessing us? Are we in charge of them? Are they in charge of us? That's a very interesting concept. Sefer Yetzirah teaches us that Belamed Bet Netivot Pliach Hakak Ka Hashem Tzevakot, right? That God created the world with Lamed Bet Netivot, 32 pathways. The 32 pathways are not by chance, the lave pathways. And the Sefer Yetzirah goes and explores that these Lamed Bet Netivot are the 10 numerical values and the 22 letters, which is boils down to quality and quantity. So the pathways to the heart of the world, or to our heart, which is the micro and macro, is through these understanding, this relationship between quality and quantity, and what that means to us. Now, on a deeper level, the Maharal starts off his book with the Netiv HaTorah, which I don't have in front of you, but he starts off and says, Vayoreni Vayomar Yitmoch Dvarai Libecha Shomer Mitzvotai V'chaye, brings a pasuk from Mishlei, and says, Shlomo HaMelech Alav HaShalom Ratza Le'azihir Et HaAdam Al HaTorah Ve'amar Ki Kasher Natan HaTorah El HaAdam Amar Hashem Yitbarach El HaAdam Yitmoch Dvarai Libecha. Right, my words will give a backing to your heart. Klamar HaTorah Shehi Divrei Hashem Yitbarach Yitmechu Libecha. Right? Ki Lev HaAdam Sham HaChayim. Man's lives in his heart. The man's life is in your heart. And the Torah's words are going to be those who give what you feel a backing. Right? I feel some sort of emotion, and I have to go through the pathways of the Torah and learn where that emotion is coming from. So the Maharal, who very much developed a whole understanding of how we go deeper, is also going to be starting every nativ with a quote from Mishlei, right? And Shlomo HaMelech, who was the wisest man, and he was Melech Shalom Shalom, he was the one that brought Shalom and Shalem into the world, is the one that gives us Mishlei. Mishlei doesn't mean a moshel from the word governor, but rather a mashal, right? the mashal, the analogy that I can that I can bring you to something with, right? A moshel can either be a governor that just decides what, or he's a person that can really use his influence to draw you in instead of beating down on you. He can be a master, it can be a maestro, the guy who's playing the instruments, and that's the moshel, right? Or the famous understanding of Chazal of tzaddik moshel b'yirat elokim. What does that mean, that a tzaddik is a moshel b'yirat elokim? How could a tzaddik, is he governing the yirat of Hashem, or is he the one that is constantly bringing out the moshel, the analogy, the deeper understanding of what it means to have yirat Hashem? And this is kind of what we're going to try to be exploring, which is the pathways of the world, the pathways, the eternal pathways, the pathways to the heart, to our heart, to the heart of the world. What does that really mean? What does it really mean for us to have a relationship where we're trying to further understand our attributes, further understand what God wants us in the world? And it's very interesting that Nativ HaOsher, right, which is, we could say, the path of wealth, or is it the path of what you acquire, what you own? What does that path look like? What does it mean for me to be a person that is acquiring certain things? So let's just see what he has to say. And he opens up saying, the Sefer Mishlei, it says, Al tiga leha'ashir mibinatcha chadal. Right? Now, what is the simple understanding? Al tigale ashir, right? Don't try to get money. It's enough, right? The more you try to acquire money, the more you're going to lose, right? So you're thinking binatcha chadal. You're trying to think about how to acquire more and more money. You're trying to devise better plans about how to become more rich. And Shlomo Melech says, don't do it. Don't do it, right? Once you get into this world of always trying to figure out how to get more and more and more money, you're not going to get out of it. You're going to get lost in that world of never being satisfied because there's always more. Because there's always more, or the potential of more, the illusion of more, and therefore I'm always going to try to get more because, well, why not? But on a deeper level, and what I think the Maharal is going to try to explore for us, is that Shlomo Melech is putting a mirror, or he's testing both theories, which is Al Tigale Ashir, don't, right? Don't try to always acquire more wealth, right? Or Al Tigale Ashir, don't try touching wealth, don't try to grasp wealth. Mibi Netcha Chadal, also stop with this wisdom. See, because the more you're trying to acquire wisdom, again, that's running away from you, the same way you're trying to acquire money. If you're trying to constantly have money, the same way you're trying to constantly have knowledge, it's never really yours. It's never really yours. The wisdom that you acquire externally is not your wisdom. What's the true wisdom that's yours? What you've acquired on your own. What is the money that is really yours? What you didn't chase after. So the money that you're chasing after, you're never going to really have it, even if you have it. Going back to the possessions, are you in possession of it, or is it possessing you? Yes, you're in control of your phone, but how much is your phone in control of you? How much of the screen is in charge of you? How many times have you put your life in risk while you were driving because you needed to check your phone? Whatever's really yours, that's yours. Whatever you're chasing, is it ever going to be really yours? And the same thing, mibinatcha chadal. This constant trying to be smarter and up people more and know more and know more, is that going to really give you any satisfaction? Is that really your knowledge? Say, you can quote things, great. For now you're so smart, does that make you a better person? Right? Or does that just make you feel more elitist? Shlomo Melech, who was the richest person and the wisest person, is telling us one thing, which is, don't chase it. Don't chase it. Once you're in the race, you're no longer enjoying anything because you're always constantly trying to acquire more, get more, have more. So let's see inside. Shlomo HaMelech alav shalom ratza lomar, Shlomo HaMelech desired to say, she'adam lo yerodef lehagia achar ha'usher. Don't be chasing to reach this place of after wealth. What's after wealth? So let's say, for us, I would assume, let's say, that if each one of us got $200,000, we would feel like, wow, that's it, it's great. I have it, I don't need it anymore. Like that's probably would take care of all my expenses for the near future. I'm good, $200,000 is a lot of money, it's good. Okay? That would be a place where I will be happy and comfortable. See what happens after that place. Al tigale ashir, don't be chasing to reach this place of the money, you know. No person is telling himself, I want infinite money. People are saying, listen, if I only had $1 million, if I only had 2 million, if I only had 10 million, if I only had this and this amount of shares and stocks and this, and, right? There's always like that will make me happy. Rak sheye mistapek b'ma shenatan Hashem itbarach elav, v'lo yirdof b'koach u'b'chuzka l'itasher. Says here that, says the Maharal, she mistapek b'ma shenatan Hashem itbarach elav. Rather, a person should be mistapek. What's mistapek?
Satisfied.
Satisfied, right? A person should be satisfied, or I could say even better, satiated. Right? Must speak, enough. I have enough. I do not need more. Reb Nosson of Breslov will tell you even more, and he would say, the right mindset would say, if I needed more, then God would give me more. Right? God wants to give me a lot more than I want. And probably the only reason I don't, he's not giving it to me, is because it's not good for me. Right? Right? Imagine, yes, yeah, I tell you you have $200,000 and you're obviously right now in your mind, you know exactly how you're going to use it right. But who says that once you have that money in cash or in Venmo, you're actually going to use it well? Maybe you're not as strong in your desire as you think. But then he says, "Filo yirdof bekoach ubechozka leitasher." Yirdof means chasing, koach means strength, and chozka means what? Usually understood as strength, but what kind of strength? A grasp, right? From the word lehachzik, to have a hold on something. The Maharal is telling us, Shlomo HaMelech is advising us. Don't live a life where you're constantly chasing and trying to get a grasp on reality. Rather, allow yourself to be part of reality. Be part of the havaya. Be part of the existence. The more we try to be in charge, the more we try to get a hold on, the more it's running away from us. The Yetzer Hara is always going to tell us that the solution to all our problems is right around the corner. And then we get to that corner, he says, no, not this corner, the one right here. It's always going to be always a little bit beyond our grasp. Right? And Shlomo HaMelech says, don't chase. Lo yirdof bekoach ubechuzka leitasher. Don't live a life where you're constantly trying to have a hold on things. Because those people who are trying to live a life where they're constantly in control, are they really in control? Or are they just eluding themselves? So we all tell ourselves, yeah, if I only had this and this, my life would be fine. And yet, studies show that the more rich you are, the sadder you are. The more depressed you feel. Why? Anybody know why? So psychologists have shown that the more rich you are, the more you think there are less people out there that can relate to me. Right? Because when you're saying you have troubles, what troubles are you having? Is your card collection losing value? I mean, your company lost some value? What? $200-$300? I'm talking about billions. Right? How many people can relate to me? They don't have my problems. They don't have my reality. I have a friend who has a company that takes Fortune 500 CEOs and by chopper and drops them in the wilderness of the mountains. It was just a cabin. And no electricity, just like minimum like light, raw materials. And they just lived there for 3 months or 4 months in total wilderness. No electricity, no phones. And you know, these billionaires, they're paying a ton of money. Because they told themselves that, you know, my life would be good once I have this desire. They were chasing it. They got a hold of it, but it's not giving it to them. Actually, what they do need is actually a detox to actually experience the most primitive, the most primordial, the most simple. Al tigal le'ashir. Don't try to grasp, to touch, to hold, to get a hold on life. The more you think you're going to get a hold on life, the more you're just constantly going to be chasing it. So when you were in high school, you were told, you go to college, you get a degree, your life's set. You get to college, what did they tell you? You get a bachelor's, you get a master's, you're set. You go to graduate school, you get a master's, you get a PhD, you're set. Right? You get a PhD, so you just get your doctorate, you know. You get your master's, you just get an internship, you're good. You get an internship, like we keep telling us that it's the next train station where everything's going to be fine. And yet Shlomo HaMelech is telling us, Al tigal le'ashir. Don't set yourself up for a life where you're constantly in the chase. Where you're constantly trying to get to there to be happy. You have to be here. You know, so there's a great Rebbe called the Baal Shem Tov. Do you know that every rabbi has also a counterpart, evil rabbi? You know who the Baal Shem Tov's counterpart evil rabbi is? HaBaal Shem Tov. Shem Tov. Over there, it's good. Over there, it's good. Right? If you hear of the Rebbe Mipolotov? Polotov. Right? There's always these rabbis who are there to tell you, Shem Tov! It's over there. You get married. There, your problems will be solved. You'll make Aliyah, your problems will be solved. You go to YU, your problems will be solved. Polotov. HaRebbe Mipolotov. You're not allowed to listen to these rabbis. HaBaal Shem Tov. That's what Shlomo HaMelech is telling you. You can live two lives. One is where I'm right here, right now, experiencing existence in its pure form. And two, constantly chasing, constantly trying to grab, constantly trying to get a hold on reality so it fits into my narrative of life. My narrative of life is if I only had X amount of money, then I could settle down, have kids, have a family. What's going to happen when you have that money, if you ever do get there? You're going to have other things, right? Right? We have family friends that are always going to make Aliyah next year. Right? Or somebody who's going to start taking Judaism seriously next year. Because it's there where my problems will be solved. Right now, so there's a famous joke that this guy walks into a bar and he sees a big sign behind the bartender that says free beer tomorrow. So he says, well, I'm going to spend my money today. I'll come back tomorrow. He comes back tomorrow and goes, can I have a free beer? The guy looks at him, you didn't read the sign? Free beer tomorrow. Not today. See, that tomorrow where there's free beer is always going to be tomorrow. It's never going to be today. That's why David HaMelech says, Hayom im bekolo tishma, it says in the Torah, Ani hayom yaldaticha. There's only service of Hashem today. And if you're going to be constantly chasing tomorrow, and you know, it's okay, when I become a senior, then I'll have so much time to really learn Torah. Then I'll... There is no then. Life is now. And we're always... I'm telling you how it's going to be. I've already planned it out. I'm taking all these credits now, so later in life, I can have all this. What do you think is going to happen later in life? You're not going to tell yourself that you're going to do all this now so you can have an easier time then? V'amar mibinatcha chadal, k'mo shehizhir shelo yirdof achar ha'osher, kach hizhir shelo yirdof liknot chochma utvuna, asher en ra'uy el ha'adam. V'yirtze le'asig me'atzmo midato, rak yekabel mirabo. Same thing about osher, same thing about knowledge. If only I knew today, yesterday, last year, what I know now, It would solve all my problems. Habibi, knowledge is just like money. You think that's solving your problems? Right? Should I be telling every chassan who's getting married all of what I know today about marriage? Is that going to solve his problems? If I knew everything I know now about my wife and go back 7 years, would that mean we won't have all those fights? We'll have those fights. Push it. And if I go to YU, that means I won't struggle with balancing school and total learning. Life is right here. And we have people that are constantly chasing the tomorrow. Constantly chasing, if only I have the knowledge to understand. This does not mean that we shouldn't try to learn from other people. But the binatcha chadal is how am I trying to just fix the situation? Right? How can I just figure out how to tweak things so it works for me? Right? If only I figure out how to use this leverage in order to get into this class that would solve all my problems. The question that we're starting this Nativ HaOsher with, and not only Osher and physical wealth, obviously the Maharal is telling us, it's also intellectual wealth. Same way we have very long conversation about intellectual property and who owns intellectual property. Great. There's physical property and there's intellectual property. And they're both property, they both have equity, they both have a strong investment. And they're, Shlomo HaMelech is telling us, you can easily put yourself on a very dangerous path that tells you that if only you have the upper hand, you'll solve the problems. If only you have money, it will solve your problems. If you only have this knowledge, it will solve your problems. You're always trying to constantly reach a place where it will solve my problems. How do I get ahead of everybody else? What am I going to do to make sure that I stick out? What about experiencing the right now? It says the Maharal, Ki asagat habina eina lefi madrigat ha'adam. רק יעמוד האדם במדרגה שראוי לאדם. ולכן אמר מבינתך חדל, ולא ילך אחר שוקתו. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says,
please.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam Arisha, to Avram Avinu, he says to Avram Avinu, לך לך מארצך, ממולדתך, מבית אביך, אל הארץ אשר אראך. Where does God say to Avram? Where is he going? Is he going anywhere? Is there a final destination? Can he plug into Waze, Ha'aretz Asher Areka, and try to get there? Ha'aretz Asher Areka doesn't mean that we're going to a destination. It means that we're going on a journey. But if we're constantly trying to reach a destination where my problems will all of a sudden disappear or reappear or life will all of a sudden become easier, That's an illusion. So the Maharal is telling us something very profound. Shlomo HaMelech is giving us this advice when we're living in a world that is full of things that we acquire. Whether it's physical possessions, whether it's money, whether it's knowledge. Are you on the journey for the journey? Or are you constantly living in a reality where you think that this will solve my problems? This will take me to somewhere greater. Now, what's really, really amazing is that our whole life is this journey. And that's the same thing with Torah knowledge. When I learn Torah, am I acquiring knowledge? If only I knew enough kulas, I wouldn't have to keep any halacha, right? If I knew all the Rishonim, right? Just plug into findmeakula.com. I find a Rishon that says that we don't have to do this. I have some rabbi that I rely on, and that's it, right? Let's take the extreme, extreme case and make it mainstream. Right? You know, a lot of communities that do that. Okay? Right? Find me a Rishon that says that this is, you don't really have to do this. Okay? And that's it. And then I Is that our acquiring of knowledge? Am I acquiring knowledge? Is Bina something that I acquire? Or is it something that I'm living? Am I trying to experience my life, my journey? Am I always letting God show me what's next? Or do I want to just know so things just kind of solve my problems? See, many times we might think that we want God to tell us what to do. If only God told me what to do, right? Like, you know, it's 2019. If God only just came out with a big flyer and saying, you know, keep Shabbos, make my life easier. And it might make my life easier, but it would make my life better. Better doesn't always mean easier. If somebody micromanaged my life, if somebody told me what to do, it would make my life easier. If somebody could tell me exactly which class to take and map out my 4 years of college and explain everything to me and also tell me, you know, people always want to know, is she the one? Is she the one? We are in love with this concept of love at first sight. It just took over me. I just knew she was the one from the moment I met her. And I'm sitting with students who are telling me, how do I know she's the one? You know what I tell them? When you love her enough that you don't care anymore if she's the one, then she's the one. Because there is no guarantee. And if she's the one, right? I remember I went once to a big Kabbalist. I was dating this girl and I said to this Kabbalist, I said, is she the one? And this was like, I'm telling you, like one of the greatest Kabbalists. And he looked at me and goes, and if she's the one, does that mean that you won't fight with her? Does that mean you'll have Shalom Bayit? Does that mean your kids will live a life of Avodas Hashem? And if she's not the one, does that mean you won't have a happy marriage? Does that mean you won't have amazing children? What does it matter? Right? What does it matter? What's the one? But we want to know. We want, because it makes our life easy. It doesn't make our life better. If God micromanaged our life, imagine Moshe went up to the Shemaim and came down after 40 days with the Shulchan Aruch. Huh, the outer life would have been easy. Wouldn't be machlokas between Ashkenaz and Sephardim. We wouldn't have to figure out what to... Does that make our life easy? Yeah. Does it make our life meaningful? Not necessarily. I know exactly what to do. I also know what tissues to buy because that's the Das Torah. The Rosh Yeshiva buys Kleenex. I buy Kleenex. Very simple. Right? So yeah, it makes my life easy. Not necessarily makes my life better. Sometimes what makes my life better is that I'm just in the moment, exploring. I'm experiencing right now. So Shlomo HaMelech says, Al tigal le'ashir. Don't try to get a hold on wealth. You think that will solve your problems? It won't. Mibinatcha chadal. You think if you only got an edge on, you think if you knew something that somebody else didn't, that will solve your problems? It doesn't. And you know why Shlomo HaMelech gets to say this? Because he's that guy. He's that smartest man in the world, the richest man in the world, and still he had a heck of a lot of problems. And you would think if he had all the knowledge and all the money, he could solve problems. And Shlomo HaMelech tells you, no, money and knowledge doesn't solve your problems. What solves your problems is your mindset in life. Is the mentality of, are you trying to live here? Are you willing to spend those $2 on that beer? Or are you coming tomorrow because there's free beer tomorrow? And that's what he says. L'chein amar mibinatcha chadal. Ve'lo yilech achar tshukato. Don't get tricked into, this is so enticing, so enticing. Right now, my life is difficult, but if I had a job set up for after college, make my life easy. That would solve my problems. If I just knew who my wife was. If I just had the knowledge of how to tell my kids what to do, or how to deal with my friends, or how to explain to my parents that I no longer want to live the lifestyle that they brought me up in, that would solve my problems. No, Habibi, no, Habibi. It would divert your problems to other problems. Shlomo HaMelech says, because you're actually putting yourself in a world, as he says, she'adam lo yerodef la'giya achar ha'osher ve'lo yerdof bekoach u'bechozka le'itasher. Because if you think possessions are going to give you what you're looking for, they're just going to set you off into a mentality where you think that you're holding on, that you have a grasp, that you know what to do. But that's not the case. She'emistapek b'ma she'natan Hashem elav yitbarach. A person should live a life where he's saying, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me is what I need. I'm not trying to live in a world where all of the solutions to my problems are right around the corner. I'm not buying into that, Yetzer Hara. I'm sorry, I'm not buying into that. I need to be right here, right now. This is where I am. In this mentality, with this reality, with this knowledge. If only I knew today what I, you know, if only I knew a few years ago what I know today, then you would be today not knowing what you will know in a few years. It's as simple as it is. Right? Now, we all hate when people say, well, you know, one day you'll understand what I'm saying. But what they're trying to tell you is, don't try to solve tomorrow's problems today's. Try to be here right now. So, we're starting the Tivot Olam, the 32 pathways, and this is one pathway of the 32, to really live an eternal life, to live a life of this world. And the life of this world starts with not chasing after some magic potion that will solve your problems. It won't. The only thing that will solve your problems is that you're trying to live here and not trying to constantly tweak what's not working for you. We live in a world, and it's all around us, where we're just constantly trying to just get an edge on things, just outsmart the system. The more you think you're outsmarting the system, the more you're going to pay back in dividends. There are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts. And if you think that you are smart enough to get by, every single person in prison thinks he had the perfect crime that nobody would figure out. That's it. It's not true. Everything's going to catch up to you, because once you head down that path, it becomes addictive. And the possessions that you have start possessing you. And instead of you being in control of your life, your life is in control of you. And that is exactly Chazal's understanding of the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. Chazal tells us in the Gemara, the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha is a tzaddik moshel belibo. The rasha libo moshel bo. Who is in control? And I remember when we started off the Mishlei, we talked about a mashal can be, a moshel can be a governor, a top-down person, a master, or it can be a maestro, somebody who is coming from the inside. A mashal, an analogy, is something that is supposed to integrate the parts. I'm not telling you what to do. This week's parsha, ki hadam eitz asadeh. What does an eitz do? An eitz, a tree, takes all the soil, the dead minerals in the soil, something that is nobody can use, and integrates it into life. And that's why a person who gives advice in Hebrew is called a what? A yo-eitz. Advice called an eitzah. Because what does a yo-eitz do? He's just a treer. He's just allowing you to integrate all these useless parts of you into something great. Not what we call today an advisor who's telling you what to do. That's not a yo-eitz. Adam eats asade. That's how we are. So we're starting off, and Shlomo Melech is telling us that when it comes to relationship with things that you acquire, whether it's physical, money, wealth, or it's intellectual, property, intellectual value. You think, oh, I'll just take this. You know, people are willing to pay thousands of dollars to go to a TED Talk lecture. And forget about that. It's free online for everyone. But why are they paying thousands of dollars to go to a TED Talk lecture? Or any other lecture for that regard? Because they think, you know, if only I'll get this knowledge. How many of you have seen TED Talks? How often do you come across a TED Talk of something you didn't know? Right? It's like I just listened during the summer to the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And I'm like, oh, this is Reb Nachman for secular people. It's like 1, 2, 3, and 4 are you know, the first three Torahs in Likutei Maharan. And then like 4, 5, and 6 are like everything that Rabbi Nachman is saying, like in Sipurei Maaseh. Like great, you know? Like, but why is it so successful? Because people want somebody else to tell them what to do. And you know what happens? And you'll always be told what to do. You're always going to live in a life where you're being told what to do. Instead of a life where you are learning from your experience. That's why Shlomo says, Mibinat Chachadal. Kemo she'ezir shelo yirdof achar ha'oshech, kach ezir shelo yirdof liknot chochma v'tvuna asher en ra'uye la'adam. Right? Rak yekabel mirabo. Receive what you're ready for. Have people who know you share knowledge with you. Right? Somebody said to me yesterday, I want to come to senior learning. And I said, you can come, but it won't be as effective for you when you're as it is for the seniors. Because the senior who's already looking at life after college, that, he's ready for that. You can come because it's Torah and it's for everybody. But for you, it's just going to be a regular shiur, like any other shiur. Because you're not in that mindset yet. Receive the knowledge you're ready for. So when we're talking about relationship between things that we acquire, am I acquiring a new phone because it's going to solve my issues of relating to people? Because we know that the smartphones, and they say smartphones with stupid people. We used to have stupid people with smartphones. And now that it's so easy to communicate, we don't have conversations anymore. So communication is on the high and conversation is plummeting. Because you're going to send me a whole 20, you know, a two-paragraph conversation. I'm going to send a thumbs up. Thumbs up, do you like, do you agree, do you disagree? Like, what are the thoughts? Well, I don't have time or energy to really start reflecting on everything you said, so I'm just going to do a thumbs up, right? Great, so where are we going? Don't live in a world where you're constantly chasing after things that you think that if you acquire them externally, then it's going to solve your problems. The only thing that will actually, are things that are integrated into your life internally. Things that you've received, things that you have acquired by your desire to be part of something bigger. But if you're ever telling yourself that this will solve your problems, it just brings more problems. And I tell it to people all the time. I said, you think being religious means you're going to have less problems? Wrong, sir. Being religious will have more problems. Hopefully, being religious will give you meaning to your problems. But being religious doesn't solve your problems. Not one bit. Not one bit. It just gives meaning to the problems. But if a person thinks he's going to get religious or he's going to get married and that will solve his problems, then he's going to get unmarried and unreligious. And there's many of those. We know them. We know our friends. Because somebody told him, that will solve your problem. No, 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 no. As Rav Kook will teach us, and Yahrzeit was 2 days ago, your problems are your attributes you've yet learned how to master. So instead of trying to get past that problem and therefore never develop that attribute and always have a handicap, embrace what you're going through. Should be Zohar.